This is the week four edition of the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast. Survivors ready, go. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Men, stop paying permanent alimony. As of July 1st, 2023, Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law in the state of Florida the elimination of permanent alimony. If you are paying permanent alimony, reach out to Brandon Legal Group for a free consultation because you can stop paying permanent alimony. For a free consultation, click the box for just that purpose at brandonlegalgroup.com or call 813-902-3576. 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area, reminding you Florida-based men, stop paying permanent alimony. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, social media, Instagram at toddwright2121, and we can be friends on Facebook if you like. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. A lot to get to. We are recording this on Wednesday morning, so factor that in. Depending on when you're going to put in your picks and otherwise. Last week, we sort of narrowed the field down to Baltimore and Jacksonville, but that was early in the week before the Ravens announced as many as 8 starters out, before we had some clarity on the Colts quarterback situation, before we also had some clarity on C.J. Stroud's shoulder for the Houston Texans, and some other things that were bubbling up. As it related to problems with the Jaguars being too predictable on offense. And then in the end, and I even fired this back via email to a couple of you who reached out based on the Survivor podcast from week 3 and my Veasan appearance, just based on some of the red flags about going forward with Baltimore or Jacksonville, and with everything happening at Halas Hall in Chicago, I just went ahead and burned Kansas City. And not only was it an easy advance in week 3, I took a nap late afternoon. That was nice. No sweating, napping, as the Chiefs ran out to a 41-0 lead before benching some of their starters. So I went with Kansas City last week, so I've now used Washington, Buffalo, and Kansas City in the first 3 weeks. And the more I analyzed it, the more I realized it was actually a pretty good spot to use the Chiefs. Relatively speaking, to say the next month or so, sure, they had a game coming up against the Broncos. We know how bad the Broncos are. We thought we knew how bad the Broncos were. Yeah, the Kansas City-Denver game is week 6. So if you didn't use the Chiefs in week 3, yeah, you're circling them in week 6. I guess the only danger there is the whole division opponent road underdog, which tends to rear its ugly head against obvious survivor purposes. But yeah, road underdogs that are division opponents tend to do better than non-division opponents as road underdogs. Let's just talk about the Bears for a moment. Something really interesting. Two games you're not going to be on this week in Survivor. The four winless teams all play each other. This should be a damn tournament. Much has been made about how the Bears will host the Broncos and how the Broncos, off a 50-point loss, are field goal favorites. And as of Wednesday morning, the money was moving in their direction on the road at Chicago. But Carolina is going to play the Vikings. So there are your four winless teams. By the way, the analytics say I think it's like a 2.5% chance, something like that. It's under 5% of a 0-3 team, any of the 0-3 teams making the playoffs, which is why the Bengals fought so hard to avoid that on Monday night, with Joe Burrow being the ultimate pocket quarterback, barely moving out of the pocket at all, as the Bengals won a slugfest against the Rams in the late Monday night game. But yeah, so take two games off the board immediately. Winless Carolina versus winless Minnesota. Awful Chicago versus awful Denver. We did the whole, if you wanted to go anti-Cardinals, and granted, that wouldn't have worked. Predictable trap game for Dallas last week after we recorded. Diggs goes down in practice. Yeah, we're talking about a season-ending injury to one of the best corners in the NFL on that Dallas defense, and we're talking about practice. Sad. Dak Prescott's problems on third down and in the red zone continue. Talked about that a little bit on episode 31 earlier this week on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Pollard is getting such a share of the work, and I don't know that he has the size to maintain that. He even had a hip drop tackle that had me scared, because that's how I went down in the Niner playoff game. Nevertheless, Cowboys lose to the Cardinals, so the Cardinals no longer desperate. They got their win. The new coach has his win. Joshua Dobbs has his win. Whee! And we'll get to what the Cardinals have in front of them this week when we review the odds so nicely written up and updated by Patrick Everson of VegasInsider.com that we use every week. Thank you, Patrick. If you wanted to go anti-Bears, not Broncos, we're going to play the hits here, that the odds makers and the money is already saying Denver's the play this week against the Bears. So we're going to do the anti-Bears schedule. It's not that palatable. You know, much like we ran down the Jets, and it's like, okay, where are you going to play them? After this week against the Broncos, the Bears have a Thursday night game at the Commanders. Should the Commanders win that game? Yeah. But at this point, and I got away with using them in week one, and I still believe in Ron Rivera, and I know they're going to fight, and they're going to play hard, and they're going to be prepared. But do you really want to risk your survivor life on that football team this early in the season, now that we know that they're not great? So that's the fifth game for the Bears. Then I believe they're on a bye. No, I'm sorry. It's kind of the mini bye. No, it's not a bye. Then they host the Vikings. That could be a battle of winless teams. Then they host the Raiders. Raiders also aren't good. Then they go to the Chargers. Chargers aren't good. Need to fire their head coach. Then the Bears go to the Saints. Now, that might be a spot to burn the Saints, especially if Carr is back healthy. Saints defense early on has been humming. If Kamara is in a groove on the ground, things working out with, you know, those wideouts all getting their share. You know, Michael Thomas presumably healthy at that point. That might be an anti-Bears spot, but that's early November. Then Bears host Panthers. I guess that's supposed to be a Thursday night game. Can't Amazon flex out of some Thursday games now? Because I'm sure Prime and Al Michaels are looking at a November 9th game between the Panthers and Bears and saying, we'd rather be home on the couch watching reruns of The Honeymooners than working that game and offering that game to America. Bears at Lions, yeah, that could be a spot to burn Detroit if you haven't already. And I don't think you have. And if you did in week two, you're out. Then Bears at Vikings, then Lions at Bears. Bears at Browns could be a spot to go anti-Bears, but that's December 17th. Cardinals at Bears, Bears hosting Falcons, probably not on New Year's Eve, and Bears and Packers. So there aren't a lot of anti-Bears spots for as bad as the Bears are currently. So that's interesting. Okay, let's review the carnage from last week. I believe at Circus Survivor, it was roughly 2,500 entries were on the Jaguars. I believe the percentage was roughly 40% of active entries in Circus Survivor out of Las Vegas were on the Jaguars at home against the Texans, and that game got away quickly and never righted itself as the Jaguars go down and they take 2,500 Circus Survivor players with them. In my league that I play in, with much more modest numbers and modest money, there were roughly 300 survivors still left after the first 2 weeks. 60 went out on the Jaguars. So at Circa, it was 40% in my league based in the Southeast United States. Interestingly, we're closer to the Jaguars. I got off them. I wonder if others, you know, based in the Southeast United States League, were like, yeah, I'm not going to do this week with the Jags. And I just got so many other reasons to go against the Bears this week and burn the Chiefs. The Chiefs were the biggest play in my league at nearly, not quite 25%. More like 20, about 22%, including me, in my league, advanced with the Chiefs. And then you go, well, was it more than that? Yeah, it was almost one third. I'm sorry. I'm doing poor math for you. So roughly one third advanced, about 30% advanced with the Chiefs. 20% went down with the Jaguars. Another significant percentage in my league went down with Dallas in the game at Arizona. For those playing anti-Arizona, that was at 15, 18%. And then 15 went out with Baltimore at home against Matt Gay, getting it done for the Baltimore Colts. I'm sorry, for the Indianapolis Colts. Ooh, there's a Freudian slip. And then one other went out with no pick in my league. So my league is already at 71. Significantly under 50% through 3 weeks are out. But yeah, the Jags were a big one. Combine that with Dallas and Baltimore, and that knocks out, what, roughly one third? Yeah. Little more than one third in my league went out last week of remaining survivors. Jacksonville, Dallas, Baltimore being the method. Patrick Everson, VegasInsider.com. And this was as of, when did he update this? This was as of actually yesterday afternoon. We're early in the week. Again, take that into consideration when you're listening to me, thinking about your survivor plays. So let's look at week four lines and money lines. The biggie, as part of their homestand, one of three remaining unbeaten teams, the Niners are at home this week. As of us talking about this, recording this on Wednesday morning, with lines last updated from Everson on early Tuesday afternoon, Niners 2-touchdown favorite, money line -900 against the Arizona Cardinals. When I did all my cross-referencing and preseason research, two games popped for me: Niners and Eagles. I can use either of them this week. I, like many, will be on the Niners. Now, what's interesting is in my pool last week, let's let's do the percentages again here. Roughly 1 in 6 last week went with the Niners on Thursday night against the Giants. Good play. Here's the problem with that. So that means those 51 of our remaining 171 can't use them this week. That's about 30%. So the expectation is the Niners are the big play. And I'm leaning towards being on them as well. But there's a good chunk that can't use them this week because they used them last week against the Giants. So it's not like everybody will or can be on the Niners. That'll work out very well for those 51 if the Niners lose, if Brock Purdy gets hurt, because that seemingly is the only way Brock Purdy loses is if he starts and doesn't finish a game. But the Niners will have major play in Survivor this week against the Cardinals. And again, the Cardinals are coming off a win, but that was at home. That means they're not as desperate for a win for a lot of reasons. You take the desperation factor out. It's a short week. The Niners do no traveling. I'm sorry, it's not a short week for the Cardinals. The Niners have extra rest. The Niners played on Thursday. This week they play on Sunday, so they have extra days to prepare. Normal week for the Cardinals. So that's the big one this week in Survivor. I mentioned Philadelphia, and that one does stand out. Eagles, as of Tuesday afternoon, an 8.5-point home favorite and a money line of just over minus 400 against aforementioned Washington. Okay, let's factor in. Washington still is 2-1, so they have a winning record. Washington is a divisional opponent. We've already mentioned that. Divisional opponents tend to fare better as underdogs than non-divisional opponents. Some, you know, familiarity there. Eagles come off a short week where they played on the road against the Buccaneers. And many Eagles fans and other analysts, and even A.J. Brown in a post-game interview, the Eagles are sort of, you know, they're one of three undefeated teams, and good for them. They're like, yeah, we're not there yet. We're still working. I mean, it's a healthy attitude, but I sat there for the whole game in the stadium Monday night, and I didn't watch much of their game against the Patriots. I watched a lot of the DeAndre Swift show in week two, and it does look like, and remember, the Eagles changed offensive coordinators. They changed play callers, so some things do look different. It's still a great offensive line. Boy, the Eagles are good on the line of scrimmage. Offensive and defensive line. Man, they're built. No significant injuries on offense, right? They got Gainwell back. Eagles look really good. They just don't look great. Well, that's fine. You want to look great getting into January and February. But Jalen Hurts, as much as Brock Purdy doesn't lose games, he starts and finishes. Jalen Hurts is, what, 20-1 in his last games that fit into that category? So, Eagles probably a top three play this week for those that don't have a design spot to use them elsewhere. What was another spot that I had? Hold on, let me grab my book where I did the cross-referencing. And I didn't list Philly again until week 17 in my preseason research. I'm sure some things have bubbled up since then, but tough division, right? If you were going to use the Eagles in a division game, this is the one, but you might want to stay away from that, but some might not. I'll say, sure, there'll be, what? I'm just going to guess. 10 to 15% are going to play the Eagles this week. At home, over a touchdown favorite, minus 400 plus money line play. against a Washington team that just is, they, you know, they fight hard, but their wins are against what, Arizona and Denver, and didn't put up too much of a fight against Buffalo in week three. I saw none of that game. Where else can you go? Well, you can go with the Chiefs. If you didn't go with the Chiefs last week, you could go with the Chiefs this week, albeit on the road. Sort of odd. Patrick Mahomes' first start in New York / New Jersey. Chiefs, at the time we're recording this, posting as a 9.5-point favorite on the road against the lousy Jets, and a money line choice of -460. So slightly better than the Eagles' money line choice. So, I mean, you don't have a lot of reasons not to go with Kansas City here. Obviously, I can't. I'm more anti taking teams on the road than most. I used Kansas City last week, so this isn't even a concern for me. But yeah, they'll be probably about the same percentage. I don't know, 10 to 15% on Kansas City this week as an anti-Jets play. Trevor Siemian now in New York. The Jets may have week five off. And if so, I guess that's where they could pull the plug on Zach Wilson. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But we all know that's coming. Whether it's for Siemian or Matt Ryan or somebody else. Yeah, I know what Matt Ryan said, but yeah, teams and players lie. So I think those are your big three. With, you're going to get over 50% of the action this week in Survivor on either the Niners. I mean, the Niners alone could be 50%. So you're probably going to get more like 60 to 70% of the action on the combination of Niners, Eagles, and Chiefs, considering the opponents are Cardinals, Commanders, and Jets. Where else might people go? They're the Cowboys coming home after a, quote, wake-up call or humble pie, whatever you call it. The problem is Diggs doesn't return. So Dan Quinn's got to figure out. I was offering my opinion to a great friend of mine about the Dan Quinn defense now. It's kind of like a pitching rotation. Dan Quinn had a true ace as a number one corner. Gilmore as a real solid number two corner. Bland as a, you know, surprisingly good kind of number three corner for a young player. So think of this as a pitching rotation where you have an obvious ace, 20-game winner, Cy Young Award candidate. Then you have your number two starter. He can win you 15 games. He's got an ERA, around or under three. You got a number three starter that is going to get you into the late innings with a chance to win and turn it over to the bullpen. Then your ace goes down. What happens? Suddenly the number two is the ace. The number three becomes the two. And sometimes it doesn't work. And the first week it didn't work for Dan Quinn and that Dallas defense. Taking on a Patriot offense, always something going on with Mac Jones. How about that with Mac Jones? I heard this quote this week. Mac Jones is one of the dirtiest players in the NFL. You're a freaking quarterback. Now, I know Tom Brady used to do some chicken shit stuff when he would like get tackled. He'd shove his cleats like into your crotch as he was laying on the ground. If you notice, when Aaron Rodgers went down on his one sack this year and ripped his Achilles, he flipped the ball at a Bills player. Just these veteran quarterbacks, like, don't want to get hit. And Mac Jones allegedly punched or cup-checked Sauce Gardner in the nuts. Nice. So, but Mac Jones against the Cowboy defense, you know, what can Bill Belichick actually do? What threat? I mean, if you're Belichick, I guess you try to take away Tony Pollard and you make Dak win by throwing it. How much can he throw to Lamb in the tight ends? Because no, supporting wide receiver. Cook's off to a slow start. Gallup's been eh. So, yeah. Some will go with the Cowboys this week, laying just under a touchdown as of Tuesday afternoon and a minus 320. I still think in Survivor you want to avoid going against Belichick if you don't have to. But Cowboys are at home and are kind of the fourth biggest favorite on the board. And then it really drops off after that. Well, okay, it goes down to Chargers laying 5.5 as of Tuesday afternoon. I guess there'll be some action on the Chargers, especially if Jimmy G doesn't get out of concussion protocol. But as much as, let's put it this way, as much as you don't want your Survivor life based on Bill Belichick losing, how much do you not want your Survivor life based on Brandon Staley winning? What about that decision last week? Going for it on your own, what, 25-yard line or something like that on 4th-and-1? Oh, God. He is so bad. But Chargers -5.5, a money line -260 against a Raider team that may or may not have Jimmy G. Because even with Jimmy G, they haven't been great. But even Jimmy knows. Feels like a Seinfeld episode. Jimmy knows. Jimmy says, just get the ball to Devontae Adams. So so we'll stop there because everything else is like 3.5 or less as of Tuesday afternoon. Stay up to date on on news and notes. Teams, you know, especially things going bad for underdogs that flip the line. Yes, many people are stunned that the Dolphins at 3-0 off laying 70, and it could have been more, at home, are a 3-point underdog against the Bills, and the early money has actually, I think they opened at 2.5 and it went up. Yeah, that's fun. You know what that game is? That game is the Lee Corso type game. Somebody knows something, and I don't know what they know, but I'm with the somebodies. Bills a minus 154 money line. Yeah. Remember, Jags-Falcons is a London game. Jags are there for a couple of weeks. Hosting the Falcons. I think the Desmond Ridder issues are starting to, they're starting to ripple. We haven't seen a lot of them. Okay, but what else you got, Desmond? Because there's now more tape on you. And the more other teams see your tape, the less you look good in it. So Jags and Falcons both looking to sort of get right in London, and we'll leave it at that. Email me at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com with what's going on in your Survivor League. Any questions you might have, tell me your opinions, and we will go from there. This is a fun podcast to do. Remember, we recorded this on Wednesday morning using lines from Tuesday afternoon based on Patrick Everson's weekly column in VegasInsider.com. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Men in the state of Florida, if you are paying permanent alimony, stop paying permanent alimony. Contact Brandon Legal Group for more information. Visit BrandonLegalGroup.com, your full-service law firm. Thanks for listening. Good luck this weekend.